So I'm going to start today's episode with a question for my two co-hosts today. Sound good?
No. Don't like questions. Next.
I am the star of this podcast. I will dictate the questions.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
So my question for you guys is, if your team, so Anson's case, Columbus, Jeffrey's case, Montreal, wins their division, if they put up a banner for it, would you be embarrassed?
Here's the thing. If it was last year, I'd be like, go for it, because last year was weird. So you could be like, if you're the Leafs, you could be like, here's the North Division banner, right? It's weird, right? This is probably never going to happen again. I'd be like, yeah, North Division winner, cool. I forgot the other ones already. It's been so long.
North, West, East, and South, Central.
Yeah. But like, you know, when do you have a North Division? You don't. Or like in Jeffrey's case, technically you could hang a banner that says Western Conference Champions.
Like, that would be cool. I can tell you've been on Reddit.
Hell yeah. Because, you know, they beat the Knights. But like, that kind of stuff, that's like, you know, it's unique. I'd be like, yeah, let's do that. But if it's like a regular season, I'm not for it. Like, I would not prez it.
I'm sorry, we are the Clarence Campbell Trophy winners. I'm sorry, it's not the Western Conference Champions. I don't know. Like, to me, isn't this like the whole Nashville question, where it's like Nashville has all these banners of them winning useless things that never actually count towards anything?
Like, Jesus Christ,
I know useless things. Straight for the jugular.
Well, like, I mean, like, I know in baseball, right, like, the pennant races for your division, those are a lot more competitive and, like, more, I don't know, maybe, like, people care more about them. But, like, I think in the NHL, because, like, just because you win your division doesn't always guarantee you much success in the playoffs, I think there's less of a recognition for winning your division. I think, like, back when, you know, it was if you're top in your division, you were guaranteed like a top three seed in the playoffs, maybe there was a little bit more emphasis. But now that there really isn't much emphasis on winning a division, I think, like, if you're putting up a banner, like, your rafters must be quite barren, I would say.
When you say winning the regular season doesn't translate much to the playoffs, are you referring to a specific team over there?
Well, no, I'm just saying that, like just because you have a higher seed, like, I think there's a lot more parity in, like, the NHL playoffs compared to, like, the MLB, right? Like, the MLB, if you're a division winner, you're, like, there's only, like, four teams that realistically make the playoffs in MLB in each, like, division. I mean, not division, each league, right? Like, yes. The wild card game is kind of stupid, I think. Like, you shouldn't play one game just to make the playoffs. And then, do you still consider the team in the wild cards as making the playoffs? Not really. But, like, in the NHL, when you have, you know, eight teams per conference making it into the playoffs, and then the division, if you win a division, you're facing against one of the wild cards. Like, it's not always a guarantee that you're going to, you know, like, win the playoff series. Like, can you think of, in the MLB, right, if you win the division, you have a very high chance of winning the World Series. But in the NHL, just because you win your division doesn't always mean you have a very high chance of winning the Stanley Cup still.
Okay, but you made it kind of sound like, okay, it's fine if you've won a lot of stuff, but if you start with it, how do you not, you gotta continue with it, right? Like, if you start building this tradition, you can't stop the tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, you can't be like, 1 year, yes, let's hang out division rafters, division banners in our rafters, but then if you win too many, then you just can't, and there's no more space. You can't just start being like, oh, let's stop doing it.
Yeah. Okay, but with that being said, I guess my question is, like, if you do that, start getting to, like, hey, we're the division champions. We're the series winners. Like, where do you really start? Where do you stop with this, right? It's like, I beat our, I don't know, 8-game win streak against our rivals over 3 years. It's just be like, you know what I mean? Like, these banners are supposed to be something. I like, in my mind, for like rewards, like local rewards within the team, you have statues. That's the all-time most important, like best thing you can do, right? The statues. Then you have banners. Then you have like ceremonies. And ceremonies are kind of just like, eh, whatever, right?
Like, I think the ring, like when you retire their numbers.
Yeah, retire the numbers, but like, you know, teams can't retire, you know, stuff, right? They can retire player numbers.
Yes.
So you kind of have like celebrations. I'm fine with celebrations. If you want to be like, great job, team won, I don't know, 60 games, right? And they won the division, then, you know, you have 60-cent pop night or whatever you want, right? Like, whatever. Banner is kind of forever? Is that, that's kind of my issue? Where it's like, oh, cool, they won the regular season. Now what did that lead to? A first-round exit? Do I really want to remember that? Do I really want to take down banners after that? You know what I mean?
And the good thing is, that'll be hanging for basically the rest of the duration of that team, even. Like, however long you're there for, that banner's going to be there. Like, the Preds, I'm just going to say this, because, like, they hung a banner for, what, Western Conference champs?
Regular season Western Conference champions.
Right. So it's just, like, cool, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you didn't win a cup, so I don't really, like, that doesn't bring back fond memories if I were, like, a Preds fan.
I think, like, if you're going to hang up a banner, like, something that is going to be permanent, like, it has to be, like, can't be related to the regular season. It has to be related to the playoffs. And you have to either, like, be a finalist, like a Stanley Cup finalist, or, like, something that where you win a trophy, right? Like, anything else, I think, is not worth putting up a banner for.
Basically, if you're in the final two, you're, like, you know, like this year, Montreal and Tampa, you can hang banners. Like, Vegas cannot hang a banner. Islanders. Islanders cannot hang a banner for being in the final four. They can, but it just doesn't seem right. That is where I kind of draw the line. It's like, if you're the final two, you know, you're like Stanley Cup finalist, sure, but not for making the playoffs or being the best or having like what if freaking like 2011, like Vancouver Canucks, so they're like President's Trophy winner, probably gets swept. That's stupid.
You know who I feel the worst for, though?
Actually, no, I don't know.
Jeff, you want to take a guess who I feel the worst for?
Like, what do you mean worst for who or what?
In this situation, who do I feel the worst for?
Is it Preds? Because they're getting shot, even though they're not part of it?
Jeffrey, who is your guess?
I think it's the fans of that team who have to sit through the embarrassment of remembering that they were kind of successful, but not really successful.
That's a good one, but I feel the worst for the Hurricane social media guy. Because, like, you got to tweet this out, right? Like, the team clearly is very proud of us. So they got to tweet this out. But, like, remember when Nashville did it and everyone clowned the shit out of them? The Hurricanes also clowned the shit out of them with their Twitter account. And now they're like, oh, shit. I gotta tweet this out too now. You know, fans have like, pretty good memory. And not all of them, but, you know, a couple of them have memory. They let you know they have a good memory. And it's just like, oh, no. He has just made fun of this, like, a couple months ago.
Do you think the Preds social media guy was, like, salivating when he saw that tweet?
Okay, if I'm the Preds social media guy, I just reply as a reply to this and write LOL with the picture. I put the post the picture, and then my tweet would just simply say LOL.
What did they respond with? Was it, because if I were them, I'd put like an eye emoji, just be like, whoops, are you sure?
They replied with this you, and then it's the bench. So that's a very good reply too. That's a very good one. I personally would have just done with an LOL. Just, you know, let the fans take care of this one. Granted, I do gotta give it to you that the Hurricanes are just putting it up. The Predators had a full ceremony.
Well,
I hope they're not having a ceremony for this.
Like, maybe it's like a rehearsal. They're just putting it up to see if it works and everything. And then come like opening day, they're gonna be like, here's an unveiling of the new banner, because it's not official, is it?
No.
Yeah, so there's still a possibility of them just going like, hey, look what we got, a banner from last year, but we didn't win.
Why does it feel so long ago that these two teams were playing each other in the playoffs this year? Like, how can we forget that? Like, this is literally, like, I'm surprised the Canes aren't just going to be like, hey, guess who we beat in the playoffs this year? Nashville.
I think it comes down to it when you look at how much has gone on in the offseason. What a crazy offseason this is.
You mean every defenseman getting $9 million plus?
That, the draft, just absolute gong shows during the free agency, the trades and everything, the expansion draft. Like, there's actually been a lot this offseason.
Especially when it was all stuffed in, like, 1 week.
Yeah. And, like, how do I put this? If you don't remember, you could always re-listen our episodes of the Bag of Pucks podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcast or Google Play, maybe on Google Play, I don't know about Google Play, or Anchor. And you can find all our links on our Twitter page, which is at BOP_POD. And with that plug in place, let's start the show proper, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So, Jeffrey says that transition was the worst he's ever seen. And he's probably right. That was pretty bad. But I don't care. I'm fine with it. I'm proud of it. I'm fine. Quick question for you guys as well. We'll start again with another question. Is anyone else kind of just like Jumbo Joe's a Panther now? Like, we got why we wanted to go to Toronto, because it was like his hometown team. It's been a nice, sweet, like, place to end his career. But it's also just like kind of weird that like Jumbo Joe's gonna be a Panther.
I don't think it's super, like, how do you say it? I don't think it's super weird to join the Panthers, because they are, like, Bill Zito did a good job like loading them out this last couple of years. It's just like he had Wenberg and then I think lost him to the free agency. But then he traded for Bennett, who was on fire. Gave him a bit of a hefty extension, but also traded for Reinhardt. Also gave him an extension. And like, if you look at all the moves they have, it's like, if you plug Jumbo in like an actual third line or so, like, it's their third lines, if you guys, one of you guys want to look this up, it's, I don't remember, but like, it's actually not like a third line. Like, I think you could pass it as a second line on most teams. You know, you slot him in there or on the fourth line, just, you play in the right spots, I don't think it's a bad deal. And it's also like $750K. Again, we went over this. If it doesn't work out, you can bury this contract, right?
I think if you're doing that, though, Joe's just going to retire.
Then let him.
But as a 35 plus, it goes right to his cap.
Oh, does it really?
Yes, sir. I mean, you could always LTI or retire him, but like, you know, not thinking about ways to cheat the system, but Jeffrey, what's up?
Well, isn't, like, he's just ring chasing, right? Or cup chasing, I guess, at this point, right? And he thinks Florida is the best place for him to, you know, play, to for him to win a cup. And I think you look at Jumbo Joe, like, he doesn't want to be a guy to just sit in the press box and, you know, be there and win a cup just by, you know, having played, you know, 41 games or whatever it is, so that he, regular season games, so that he can, you know, put his name in the cup. Like, I think he wants to somehow contribute to, yeah, whichever team he's going ring chasing, right? So I think as much as Florida's improved, like, I'm sorry, Anson, I'm not putting Noel Acciaro on my second line, but like, I can definitely see like Joe Thornton having at least some type of bottom six impact on a team like Florida, where they actually could use, you know, some of his veteran savviness. I think, like, if you're looking for teams that could use a Joe Thornton, I think Florida is perfect. Like, yes, you know, it's great. Maybe he doesn't have to pay the state tax, you know, so he can make his 750K. But like, he's at the point in his career, right? It doesn't matter how much money he's making. He just wants to win a cup. And, you know, Florida has just as great a chance of winning the cup, I think, as many other, you know, really top-notch teams this year.
I think Tampa ran out of spots, so he went to the closest spot.
So I got to ask, in both of your opinions, if you had to pick one team to win the cup between Florida and Toronto, who do you pick and why?
I'm sorry?
You pick...
I heard
pick,
you.
I pick just, one team.
I don't want it. To.
You have to pick one of those two teams. Who do you pick to win the cup? Well, that probably neither of them win, but because the other Kings win, but whatever.
I will say that probably I'm think the Leafs have a slightly better chance of winning the cup compared to Florida. I just like the moves that the Leafs made this offseason to kind of improve the team. And I know, like, you know, Florida has made lots of big improvements up front. Like, the adding, you know, Sam Reinhart's going to be huge for them. But I think, like, overall, I think Toronto just seems to be a little bit more dangerous compared to Florida. But, like, I know, like, yes, like, just because Toronto might have a better chance of winning the cup, I just don't see him having a spot on this team Toronto's building right now for next year, right? Like, I don't really see a spot for Joe Thornton. So that's why I think that maybe the Leafs were interested, but realistically, like, Joe Thornton, you're going to be probably playing the fourth line center part-time probably, right? Like, you already have Jason Spezza there. So what's the point of really having Joe Thornton there as well?
So yes, like, I think you said between those two, who wins like a Stanley Cup? So I think my issue is that I don't know, because we've seen time and time again that Toronto's core four or five, depending on how you look at it, can't do it, right? So who I want to see, I want to see Florida because of, like, you got Barkov, you got Verhaeghe, you got you got Bobrovsky. He might be a backup this year. $10 million backup. Anyone? Spencer Knight, maybe the starter. Ooh. He could win the cup in his rookie season. Both Sams, Reinhart, and Bennett. Like, if those guys win a cup, that'd be awesome. And it would just add fuel to the fire that Toronto cannot win.
But that wasn't the question. It wasn't about who you would like to see win the cup. It's who do you think is more likely to win the cup, right?
Olsen?
Me, I guess I would still pick Toronto. Like, here's my issue. Have you not noticed that every couple, like, every year, every offseason, we all go, pretty good, like, it's a pretty good offseason Kyle Dubas has. Like, as much crap as people want to give him, Dubas does do the offseason well. Every year we have a conversation of, you know what, he had a pretty good offseason. But the team fails him every time.
It's not his fault that they don't play, you know, they don't play well in certain games.
Yeah, like people blame him, but okay, there were a couple bad deals. Yes, the Mara deal isn't great. I get it. I totally get it. But every year it's like, oh, they, you know, for example, last year they had to address toughness. What did they do? They brought in some veteran leadership. They brought in toughness. And this year they're like, well, we got to, you know, figure out the goalies. Brought in the goalies they needed. Managed that cap. And they took advantage of what they saw was a market inequality. Market opportunity in the KHL. And they've been able to tap into that. And I genuinely feel that Kyle Dubas is a very good general manager. Contrary to what people will say, if you take away the huge Marner deal, I'm fine with it. I would even argue there's a pretty good chance I'm pretty fine with the Marner deal. Like, yes, he's overpaid, but what was the alternative? There was no alternative.
He sits or he walks.
You could say, well, he's not going to sit. Well, he's just going to sign an RFA. And what are you going to get? Let's say he gets four first-round picks for it. I would rather take Marner than four mid-level first-round picks.
Yeah, because the team that's, you know, signs him probably has a lot of cap space, so they aren't that good, or they have a lot of cap. Yeah.
If they're a cup contender, they don't have the cap space for this. So I would rather take the Leafs. Like, I think they're built better. I would argue, give me 6 to 7 years, maybe it's a different story. But tell me today, say you had to bet $100 on either one, I'd bet on the Leafs, even though I don't gamble. But I would bet on the Leafs.
Well, gambling's almost legal in Ontario, so.
Well, it's not about that. I just don't gamble. It's just my personal choice.
So, question for you: are we done with this one, or do you want to keep going?
If you have a question, keep going. Obviously, it's a conversation here.
It's kind of related. So I'm assuming that next season is back to like regular divisions, right? Like we're not going to have North, East, Central, West.
Which is a damn shame, but okay.
Okay. Who are the 8 teams making the playoffs on the East side and the West side? But more so on the East.
More so on the East. Why is there a focus on the East versus West?
Because this is my question of, is Toronto going to make the playoffs?
Oh, that's a spicy take. That is a very spicy take. But yes, in my head, yes.
You want to list the 8 teams that you're going to... Or like, the 8 teams that's going to make it versus like, or like the 1 team that's not, or 2 that's not.
So Tampa, obviously.
Yeah.
Tampa, I would say Leafs. And then Boston.
Okay.
With the question mark either being Florida or Montreal, with me leaning towards Montreal.
But the format there is technically if the others, like if the Caps, like their division has 5 like teams who are you know, better than the fourth, or like the fourth team on the side, they make it.
Yes. Okay, fine. I will do it by division. I was looking at division, but okay, we'll do it as a conference, right? So Leafs, I would say Capitals, Toronto, Montreal, Florida, Islanders. This is not in order. I'm just listing teams out. Islanders, and I guess the 8th seed would be the Rangers or Penguins. Jeffrey?
To me, well, like with the divisions this year, it's a tough thing, like because the East, like the Metro Division has always been like a very, like it's been a bloodbath most years anyway, right? So it's hard to kind of decide like how they're going to do. And now that the Atlantic, like, you know, Florida stepped up, Montreal stepped up, like I think just between those two divisions, like it's hard to see, like, is there going to be one division that's going to have 5? Is one division going to, I just split even with 4? Like, to me, I am probably going to say, like, Tampa and Florida, I think, are pretty strong locks in the Atlantic. And in the Metro, I think you're going to say Washington and the Islanders are your locks there. But then you just have a whole bunch. You have like 6 teams, basically, I think, fighting for the last 2 spots. You've got Philly, Pittsburgh, and Carolina that we haven't really mentioned. And then you have Boston, Toronto, Florida fighting for those last 2. Like, in my opinion, I think that the Pacific Division should just only let Vegas be in the playoffs. And then the rest of those spots in the Pacific can be given to teams in the East. Because if you look at that Pacific Division, like, yeah, it's wide open. And realistically, like, any of those teams going into the playoffs from the Pacific don't really deserve it this year.
Well, I mean, if you put it like that, then why even have the playoffs? Just crown the Kings champion.
Then let's just put 1 through 16. That's, like, not really...
You know what? I would genuinely like it.
Yeah.
If they just went, screw the Prince of Wales, screw trophy, obviously, and the Clarence Campbell trophy, and you take 16 teams, and you just go, you know, rank them as a league, 16 teams, and just go do it like that.
Yeah, top 16 gets in, kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I'm not, I honestly think conferences were better maybe in the past when it was like maybe rivalries are a bit like more intense, but I don't feel like the rivalries are that intense anymore.
You got Tom Wilson versus the Rangers,
I guess, but like New York versus New York, whatever.
Yeah, it's not as heavy as it was back in the day kind of thing. But no, the reason I brought that up was really because it's like, you know, like I think we had, what, 10, 11 teams saying like, you know, these could make the playoffs. You have to cut like basically three, or like one of them makes it out of like what you said, like I think Pittsburgh, Carolina, Philly, possibly even Rangers. And I think you said like Boston. You have to pick one out of those guys to make the final spot. Could not one of them just kind of take the Leafs out?
I think there's a perfect opportunity that the Leafs might just miss the playoffs. I think like there's just so many things that, like, the offseason isn't over still. Like, I think there's still quite a few moves to be made. Like, most teams might be done dealing and they're just going to tweak the lower end of their rosters. But I think that we're still, like, there's still a couple big moves to go before we see, like, the start of the season. And like, you know, things happen, injuries and stuff. And, like, that's why I'm hesitant to, you know, I think teams with depth and star power, or, like, teams that, like, have multiple star players, I think are more safe picks to make it into the playoffs. But like once you get into playoffs, it's, you know, it's a free for all still. Like I really wish like it was just like a 1-16 thing, like what also saying. Like divisions, like I get that you're gonna build up rivalries in maybe the playoffs because you have to face the same teams over and over again. But realistically, division is more of like, oh yeah, you're playing this team more often. That's going to develop the rivalry, but there's no rivalry in the actual standings on, you know, NHL.com. It's the rivalry of facing the other team a lot more than some other teams that don't have that, you know, proximity to you city, like location wise, right? It's just that you play them more often. And really, I think that's how you build up rivalry, not this stupid, like, you know, like there's only like a certain amount of, you have to play within your division in the playoffs.
So I got to ask, you guys seem like you guys are very bearish on the Leafs, very negative on the Leafs. Is it because of the moves or the lack of moves from the Leafs? Or is it the moves of other teams that has made you thinking like this?
I think it's a... Okay, I'm going to go first. I think it's a combination of things for me specifically. Going to like, you know, the last few years plus, I want to say next 2 or 3 years, you have $40 million basically locked up to four guys, right? So you only have so much money each year that you could, like, Dubas could really do. And like, you're right, for all the shit that he gets, for the amount of, like, how do you say, for the amount of like stuff he has, he's doing the best he can. He has like one hand tied to his back, basically.
But you and, have to argue that one hand tied behind his back is self-inflicted.
Yes, that is fair. Because the Marner and the Matthews deal and Tavares, was that him too? Probably. Yep. Nice. So like going like again, like it's one like $40 million tied to the cap each offseason doesn't leave you a whole lot of room. You know, you're paying your new guy 3.8 and your starter last year was what, 1.5, whatever. And then well, come playoffs, they don't get past the first round. Like this year they were up 3-1 and then they were up 3-2 and they were tied 3-3 and they lost 4-3. And then you go back the year before, they didn't make the playoffs. They lost to Blue Jackets. So, like, there's a theme here. Like, they can't, until they get over that hump, and, like I said, like, there's so many teams fighting for a spot this year, and I'm not even going to discount, like, I'll be honest, like, Ottawa is moving up. Like, the guys have gotten better. They're not going to, like, fight for a playoff spot, but, like, Ottawa always seems to have, like, Toronto's number for some fucking reason.
Okay, but so, Ottawa's not being the playoffs.
No, but like if they beat Toronto enough times, they could just steal the 2 points from them enough times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Be a spoiler.
Yeah, basically be like, just fuck them up. Fuck your season up. 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. That's 6 points right there. That could just change your entire season. So that's what I'm saying. Just like there's so many things going on, plus so many teams that are fighting for, like, it's not the top four this year. It's just like there's basically, what, eight spots, but there's not just seven teams. There's like, I don't want to say like 15 teams, something like that, fighting for that. If you screw up, if you have like one or two cold stretches, you're basically screwed. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
I guess my question is, you guys are so bearish on them that you guys are like, maybe they won't make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, how do they remove the stigma from them that they choke in the first round all the time?
I think that this team in general just seems destined to never make to the second round with this core. Like, maybe because we're just bearish because we just haven't seen any success at all, right? Like, when they're matched up against the top teams, they never seem to be able to do it. So, like, why do we think that? Like, now it seems to me like we keep saying, like, oh, you know, once they make it to the second round, then they're, you know, we're going to count them as actual contenders. But, like, at this point, like, we don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. And, like, it's, I don't know. Like, I think people will probably be like, it's worse for them to lose in the first round this year. If they, you know, if it happens again, then we really know it sucks. But, like, if they can't even make the playoffs, I think that we just want to see the dumpster fire when Toronto doesn't make the playoffs.
I don't know about you, Jeffrey, but the bar I've kind of seen is like, it's not winning the cup right now. It's just making it past the first round. And they haven't done that for the last 10 years. So there's not much to draw on inspiration.
Well, I would argue like consistent success is what the Leafs should be targeting. Like, as a franchise, they've been so all over, like, they've just been all over the place. They can't have sustained success where they can be like competitive, like sustained success. I'm not talking about like the Wild type of, you know, making it to the first round and then losing type, right? Like, sustained success is like, you know, consistently, you know, getting to the second round or consistently playing well against the top teams in your division or in the league, right? Like, even in the regular season, right? When they're up against like teams like Tampa or like Vegas or like Washington, like the top-notch franchises, they've always looked a step behind. They've never seemed to be able to, you know, consistently beat them. Like, they'll have like one really good game and we'll be like, oh, you know, the Leafs are turning a corner, they're really going to be in the upper echelons of the league, and the next game they face them, they look like shit. So, like, I think sustained success is what should be the goal for the Leafs, and I think that's the goal for every franchise. But until we see that with the Leafs, I like, this core just doesn't seem like they're ever going to do it at this point. Like how many seasons? They're like 3 seasons in, right? Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like within the next 3 seasons we're going to see a successful Leafs franchise, because, you know, as great as all these guys are, you know, signed to like these big deals, like, they're all UFA deals, right? Like, at the end of these deals, they don't get to retain rights or anything. Like, they're going to have to like fight everyone else in the market in free agency to re-sign these guys if they really think these guys are their core guys. So, to me, like, I guess that's why we're so bearish on them. I guess it's because we just haven't seen anything from them.
Like, they keep hyping it up and then just keep falling at the exact same spot. So it's like the boy who cried wolf. Hey, we're going to do it this year. Hey, we got knocked out of the playoffs in the first round. Hey, we're back in the, we're going to make it this year. Hey, we got knocked out again. And this year it's, hey, for at least for me, hey, there's a slight chance we might not make the playoffs this year.
Like, the ideal comparable would be hopefully like they're like a Dustin Brown. Like, when Dustin Brown shit the bed all of a sudden and, you know, hey, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be nice to you. Right? Like, you had an untradeable contract, right? And he kept, you know, battling. You know, he was like a fourth liner. He was a third liner. And then now he's back to being a top line guy. And, you know, towards the end of his contract, he's like rebuilt himself. Like, that's what you were kind of hoping for the league. Like, step-by-step progression to improve, to become like a better like team, right? But they just seem to have stalled out. And when teams stall out, they don't eventually go back up. I think they always take a step back first before they can continue their ascension, right? Like, a team that stalls out isn't going to suddenly figure it out after 3 years of being the same spot, right? They're going to have to take a step back first before they, you know, ascend back up to, you know, continue climbing up to becoming a contender.
AKA, not this year, but last year's Tampa, when they lost in the sweep the year before. And now they have curve stomped every single team in the playoffs.
Sure. I was just trying to make it more personal with Dustin Brown there.
Don't even attack my boy like that, okay?
It wasn't an attack. It was, you know, saying a good thing that he, you know, has finally like rediscovered his, you know, his ability to play hockey.
I hate you.
But does that make sense? Is it just like there's no, they haven't done anything to inspire again. They're like, we're going to do it. They don't do it. So just why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If they made the second round this year and then they're like, shit, you know, we lost to, who did Montreal play in the second round? Oh, Winnipeg. If they lost to Winnipeg, it's like, oh, okay. You know, Winnipeg swept McDavid and friends and then they stifled, you know, Matthews and the rest of the guys. Okay. You know, there's a theme there. Cool. I don't like it, but okay. But, you know, they didn't make it past the first round. It's Danault shut them down. Everyone shut them down. They keep doing it again and again. So what are you going to do about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were the hype team, right? Like, when they, you know, suddenly out of nowhere made it to the playoffs and faced against the Caps, and they looked like, you know, they were the up-and-coming team. But now that they've stalled out, like, there's other teams that you're, you know, probably more excited to watch to see what they can do, to see, like, how they're going to grow to become, you know, a top team in this league, right? Like, Toronto's lost that kind of sparkling new shininess to it, right? Like, it's that old story of not being able to get the first round. So at this point, they're just like old news, and you know, now we're gonna cheer for the next up and coming team,
like Florida per se, you know,
like LA.
LA hasn't made the playoffs,
so hey, shut your dirty mouth.
So like Florida, when they made the playoffs last year, now we're like, you know, they're a possible contender for the playoffs. We don't discount them anymore. We're just gonna put them in with one of those guys, one of those teams who's a contender to make the playoffs.
So do we talk about the West playoffs, or are we just gonna leave it at just with the East here?
Can the Seattle Kraken make the playoffs this year? They're in the Pacific Division, and if you, I don't know if you've
seen the Pacific Division. Because the LA Kings are going to make the playoffs. They're the only team that makes the playoffs.
I don't know if you've seen the Pacific Division, but again, doesn't make me, like Jeffrey said, if you replace a couple of teams, I wouldn't be mad.
Okay, in the West, I'm thinking it's probably Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton, Winnipeg, St. Louis. Again, not in order. Vancouver, and obviously LA.
Okay.
Obviously, this is without a doubt. Jeffrey?
I don't know. Like, I was getting to the point, I was like, you're probably going to struggle to find who's going to be the third team to be in the Pacific, right? Like if you're looking... Well, okay, I didn't say... Well, I could have said LA was coming second. You don't have to make that big of a reaction there, Olsen, but...
I will, like, protect my team.
I know, but like, if you look at the Pacific, like, in terms of teams that have improved, like, I guess you can say LA has improved because there's nowhere else to go but up. Seattle improved because they didn't have a team.
They have a team now. They have, you know, they signed guys.
They didn't have a team last year, so the, yeah. Of course they're gonna improve going into this year. But like, Edmonton, I think, kind of stayed about the same, really. Calgary lost Giordano and still done nothing about it. Duck sign gets left in and called it a day.
Okay, but hold up. Is the addition of Zach Hyman so insignificant to you? Just said you discount it as they've done nothing.
No, I'm not. I didn't say Edmonton did nothing. I say, like, they're still kind of on par of where they were last year. Like, yes, they have, like, you know, a little bit better, you know, bottom six. They've got, like, maybe, like, their defense can move the puck a little bit more, but realistically, like, they did nothing to solve their goaltending situation. They still haven't found anyone. Like, Hyman can work out, he might not work out. Like, they just, like, to me, like, I think they're just going to be the same team as they were last year, which, you know, they were a good team, but it was against, you know, the North, so it's a little bit different.
Does it feel like Edmonton's defense got worse too, possibly?
Yeah, like, that's why I said, like, they can move the puck a little bit more, but besides that, like, defensively, I don't really trust them. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's going to be a team in the Pacific that's going to make the playoffs that realistically could end up with a losing record and still make the playoffs. Like, this could be, like, the NBA, the 6, 7, 8 seeds of the NBA playoffs who all have losing records and somehow still make the playoffs.
So who do you have as your 3, potentially 4, in your Pacific division?
Well, I think you have to stick with three. And like, I would probably go Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jeffrey. Also, like... Hey, Jeffrey. Fuck you.
Okay, fine. And then the Central, I think you have to go like Colorado, Winnipeg, St. Louis. Like, the thing is, like, I just want Chicago to burn. So I'm going to say Dallas.
I think my wild card, it's going to pay me to say this. My wild card is Kirill Kaprizov. If they don't get the deal done, big issue.
Yes. If he doesn't sign by like opening day or whatever, Wild is not going to make the playoffs.
And my other concern is they have almost 20 million.
Who's this?
The Wild.
Okay.
You know who might actually have been a pretty good player for them to use?
Ryan Suter?
Yes. Like, you're telling me, how much was Suter getting paid?
This year? I think it's not that much. It was like, oh, wait, sorry. You mean his contract? It was like, yeah. $4 million, wasn't it?
No, his salary cap hit. His hit, cap hit.
Jeffrey?
$3.65 million for the next 4 years.
No, I meant okay. So it's deal 7.5. I'm trying to 7.5. My bad.
Oh yeah, 7.5, whatever.
Yeah, 7.5 and change. After. My question would have been: would you rather have $7.5 million Ryan Suter or $5 million Alex Goligoski?
Oh,
heck, you could have had both and had $14 million left.
Well, the question would also be: that means you would also not have a guy named Matt Dumba.
Well, also, tack it on. If you have Suter, you have Parisi. So minus in the 7.5.
No, you could have
I feel like they're kind of like a combo, like a package deal from day one.
I mean, but see, okay, if they're a package deal, then they would have gone to the same place. They would have signed the same place.
Yeah, once you get bought out, your free agency, it's whatever.
I disagree with you on that point, but they probably could have used Suter right now.
And they lost Carson Soucy, right?
Yep.
I don't hate Minnesota's defensive core. I think that the fact that they're waiting so long on guys like Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala is going to hurt their chances to fill out the rest of their, like, you know, their back end of their forward core, right? Like, they don't want to sign all these depth, like all these third line, fourth line guys to too big of a contract that's going to cap strap them when they need to, you know, re-sign Kaprizov and Fiala. So what's going to end up is that if this drags on forever, Minnesota's going to have to pick at the scrap bins to fill out their third and fourth lines.
I mean, if you look at the UFA market right now, it's not very deep free agency left, right?
Who is the quote unquote like top guy or top couple guys?
Parise.
I feel like he has a handshake deal, just not announced.
Yeah, I would say Palmieri, but we.
I think it's also a handshake deal. But not announced.
He looked like straight point totals. There's a player, Ryan Donato. I'm confused why he doesn't have the deal yet. That's one of the ones where I'm like, I'm a little. There might be something going on there. I just don't know. But besides that, you're looking at guys like Zajac, Derek Brassard, Tyler Bozak.
I think Bozak.
Terry Filippula.
Gonna retire too.
Dominic Cahoon.
Cahoon could get a contract, I feel.
I'm surprised Eric Staal doesn't have a contract. Maybe he's just waiting for the right team. Mark Jankowski, like, not a very deep roster. Maybe James Neal?
I mean, James Neal for the right price could net you 10, maybe 15.
Yeah.
On the right situation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on what kind of team wants to take him on a flyer.
But, like, that's the point, though, right? Because if Minnesota's going to have to wait until the very beginning of the season, right? A lot of these guys could be gone already, so you only have to go even further down in that list of, you know, free agents. You're going to have to go into, I don't know, like, the very, very ends. Like, I don't even know.
Tobias Reeder?
Yeah, or like you're going to go into like
the reason the Edmonton Oilers didn't make the playoffs a couple years ago, Tobias Reeder.
A Michael Dal Cole.
Yeah, like you're going to go far, lot farther down into that list, right? So, like, to me, like, I think, like, they need to get this business done or else they can't finish up the rest of their offseason.
So, basically, Mini is like a, if they sign Kaprizov, they're in. But if they don't, they're not in.
Yes. I guess my question is, now we're kind of over here, why can't they keep filling out their roster with an in mind that you're going to get Kaprizov back?
That's kind of the same thing you could ask Jim Benning on. Why are you signing all these guys and not giving Pedersen and Hughes a contract?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The Canucks, yeah. Like,
right. It's actually, they're doing opposite things, though. It's like one signing everyone around them and while the other one's waiting on the star, then signing everyone around them.
Yeah, and I have no problem with what the Canucks are doing in terms of how they're like prioritizing things. Because realistically, I think there's maybe a bigger issue with the KHL, but Quinn Hughes isn't going to the KHL. He's not going to sweep. He's not going. I really don't think he's going to sit out his third year knowing that this is an important development year.
What if there's a slight possibility of him going, hey, like pulling a little Dubois of, hey, you know, my brothers are in Jersey. Give me a bridge deal. Get me the fuck out of here.
That's fine. He still plays in your team. You could still. The whole idea of planning all your shinies around the fact that he's coming back, he still comes back.
Like, what if he just plays like what Dubois did? He just pulls like a Dubois in Vancouver. Then you have a situation on your hands.
But that's a different story, though.
That's fair.
Like, when they're doing, when we're talking about signing your pieces around it, I don't mind what Jim Benning's doing. I don't think it's a different story about who they're signing, but their priority list of, hey, we'll sign everyone around them with the mindset that they're going to come back. That's what I'm trying to say. When we look at a Wild where they're kind of stuck, they're not stuck, they choose to just keep their flexibility. That part is I'm a little stuck on.
They don't have, basically we're saying, they're waiting on one guy, but the longer they wait, the less supporting pieces they have.
Yes. You know what I mean?
I think with Pedersen and Hughes versus like the Kaprizov, like with Kaprizov, we don't have a budget, I think, for him yet. Like, I think in Minnesota, you don't know how much you're going to have to spend on him yet. Like, they're still trying to figure out, like, term-wise, like, how much they're going to, like, how many years are they going to be buying into his free agency? So, like, are you going to do a bridge deal? Like, they're still not sure about that. But in Vancouver, you already know you're doing a bridge deal. So, you already kind of have, like, an idea of how much money you can budget. So then that's how they've kind of done it there. So that's why I think it's two different situations, right? Like with one, you're looking to sign long-term where it's going to be a massive deal, but you just don't know how much you're going to end up having to pay for it. But in Vancouver, there is kind of like a cap of how much you're going to be going up to. So like, yes, the situations are, you know, similarly different, but I just don't really think it's as comparable as you guys are making it out as.
I disagree. You know your depth pieces are most likely going to be one-year deals. Most depth pieces are one-year deals. And let's say, you know, you're in the belief of, I disagree, not most depth pieces are one-year deals. Then you sign one-year deals. Because you know in, I think, next year, right? Is it next year that they have 12 million dead cap space?
I think next year they have more, and then years 3 and 4, they're fucked.
Next year, they have $12 billion. So you're going to sign one-year deals regardless, right? And with that in mind, the amount of space you keep for Kirill Kaprizov, you keep $10 million. You keep $10 million for him. Hell, you can keep $11 million. You keep enough where it's a long-term deal's worth of money. So you have that flexibility, okay? Then the remaining money, then you kind of just get those depth pieces in first. And if they choose to go bridge deal, you have a little bit more money, then maybe you explore the trade market for someone with a shorter contract who has a little bit higher cap hit, and you trade players away. You know, get that one-year push, whatever you want to do. Because realistically, they kind of only have 1 year to go, don't they? Because next 3 years after that, they have 13 million, 15 million, 50 million dead cap space. You might as well go all in this year.
This year, next year, yeah, right?
2022, 2023, they have 15 million, 13 million in cap space dead.
Oof. If you're going to sign in Minnesota, but you don't know if Kaprizov is even going to be on that team next year, are you going to go sign in Minnesota to chase a cup that even when the best, when the best players might not even be on that team? Like, I don't think you are. Like, to me, like, I think you have a bigger selling point as Bill Guerin to be like, hey, look, we've got a team with Kaprizov and Fiala. You know, this is a team that, you know, made it to the, you know, first round last year, you know, looked dangerous. You know, we could take the next step. Would you like to join our team for this run? Right. But if you're like, eh, we don't know if Kaprizov is still going to be on this team, like, sure, you can sign here, but there's a good chance that if Kaprizov doesn't, you know, resign, then you're just going to be turned into trade deadline fodder. And then you're basically just a 1 year rental. That, like, that's why, like, Goligoski is getting a no movement clause, right? Because, like, I know there's rumors saying that he has, like, a 2 or 3 year deal that's extension after this, that's like a handshake agreement. But realistically, unless you're like desperate for your job, you're not going to Minnesota. There's other teams that have a better chance of letting you win, that are more certain for winning compared to Minnesota.
I would say by now, there's not that many teams who have the cap space and the need for a lot of these players. You're starting to get into kind of into desperation time.
Like, the free agent pool remaining aren't really going to significantly shake up your depth as opposed to 2-3 weeks ago.
Especially if you go to the player and go, look, if we're not in the playoffs by a near trade deadline, I can't guarantee it, but I will do my best to get you a trade to a contender.
Basically, I think what Dubas did with, like, I think it was Mikko Lekkonen, like, hey, you're not getting ice time.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. I mean, that comes down with playing time. But yeah, something similar to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, look, if we're not in, then we'll trade you for picks. Like, we're going to blow it up after this year anyways. Like, look, we have 15 million cap space that's dead.
It's a Connor McDavid plus friend and possibly two friends.
Yeah. It's literally a Connor McDavid plus
two friends.
I don't know. And this is going to be a really interesting season. I know we started this episode with saying, hey, it's kind of been a crazy off season. I think the season's going to get even wilder. Ah, see what I did there. But that being said, boys, I got to go. Let's get some final thoughts. We'll start with Jeffrey.
Well, from Jeffrey here, I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the NHL offseason, and, you know, we're kind of heading closer towards the quiet end. Like, normally this happens a little bit earlier in a more typical NHL season, kind of, you know, end of July, like the civic holidays, when you can kind of like really relax. And, you know, I think this might be also a good time for us to maybe kind of take a little break. You know, we've been going hard, you know, producing, you know, exciting content on this podcast every week. And, you know, I think we need a little time to just recharge our batteries and come back strong for, you know, our for the upcoming season. So, you know, stay tuned to our Twitter. We'll let you guys know when our next podcast will be. Maybe it's next week. Maybe we'll have to take a week off, but, you know, check out our Twitter. You know, maybe we'll post some other things. You know, Austin's always on that Twitter doing something. I don't know. I still haven't figured out how to use Twitter, but, you know, just see what Austin's posting and just stay in touch with us. You can always DM us, and Austin will relay the information to us and we'll respond right back to you guys. Anton?
Am I free agent eligible yet?
No, you are. You're 10. Was it 10.2 RFA? Is that what it is?
Isn't that Kaprizov's thing?
Yes, you're not eligible for offer sheets. You have no leverage.
I still don't understand how that one works, I'll be honest with you.
You're a 10.2C. You are ineligible for an offer sheet. You can either podcast with us or podcast with no one.
I'll sign a 1 year deal and then I'll walk in UFA. Don't challenge me.
Take it. All right. Anson, your final words.
10.2 is stupid. UFAs immediately. UFAs every year. Hashtag set me free.
What I'm hearing is Anson's advocating for an NHL fantasy draft of year, and that is beautiful idea. Love it. Could you see
Drew Doughty in a Montreal Canadiens jersey next year?
You take that back. You shut your dirty mouth, and you do not talk about my precious boy like that.
Andre Kopitar in a
Anaheim Ducks. In a Kings jersey. That's our thought. Yeah, in a Kings jersey.
Kraken jersey.
You're a Kraken.
They're going to make the playoffs next year because of how shit the Pacific is.
Yeah, it's terrible division with the Kings the only team worth it. With that being said, love you guys. Wash your damn hands. Follow us on Twitter at BOP_POD. I think my gut feeling tells me we're going to be off next week. But we'll be back sooner than you think. I feel like the first weekend of September. That's my hunch. You never know. But follow us on Twitter at BOP_POD. We'll be here for you guys. And love y'all. Bye.
Set us free.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks Podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.